I just don't know what to say or what to think. Every day, while we are here, I go on arms round, collect the food together with the other monk down in the monastery that you eat. The arms round is about 3/4 of an hour or sometimes an hour. Then you eat the food that I and the other monk has gathered. The lay people or the lay women washing the dishes and the pots that were used for the food. The monks normally do their bowl, wash the bowl by themselves, but whenever I try, somebody from the lay people runs up and wants to wash the bowl for me. And I ask the reason why, or I just want to do some merit, some good karma. Mostly when you're growing up, the women from the village are still washing the dishes and cleaning up the kitchen that was used for the food. But when it comes then to help out with sweeping the leaves after a heavy storm, just like 2 or 3 days ago, you don't like to do it. It has been in the 6 weeks, the second time where we had to, or where it was appropriate to help the monk down there with sweeping the leaves. When I observed your expression on your faces, everyone was annoyed that he had to sweep the leaves. I mean, we are doing everything. And I mean the monks and the lay people do everything that you can stay here, that you can practice here. And that you have everything what you physically need. The sweeping of the leaves is not daily, though it might take an hour or 1.5 hours. I mean, it's a courtesy of us to help them out. It's one way of paying back what they do for us, just to help them out once in a while. But the reaction is, I want to get over with, I want to get over with, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do this, why do I have to do this? It's much better, you know, to go up to the sala, go up the hill and meditate or practice. Then 2 days ago, just a day after the storm, I went down and removed all the thorns and thimbles that were thrown on the path. When I was finished after an hour, my hands were all bleeding and I was drenched in sweat. I don't even know if you notice it, that somebody has removed the thorns and thickets that were on the path, where you constantly stumbled over big branches, or where you cut yourself on the thorns, or where your clothes were hanging into. I mean, probably you didn't even notice it. And you probably didn't even notice it that somebody has removed them for you. If you can't see the obvious obstacles that fuel our anger, that fuel our annoyance, that are in the middle, and this time it was visible, it was very visible, it's in the midst of our eyes, in the midst of our way. If we can't remove them, what does it mean, or what kind of reflection does it give on our practice? Then we are not able to remove the obstacles that lead us to samadhi or that lead us to wisdom. Because these stumbles, these thorns and thickets that are on our path of practice, we just don't see them because we want to get into samadhi or we want to get some results from the practice of wisdom or investigation. That's why we don't see the so obvious hindrances in our practice. I mean, I think I said something a few weeks ago, like people always going for the gold, but the gold is covered up with thorn and thickets. We just want the gold, we just want the gold, so we just grab and we make our way through the thorn and thickets, cutting up ourselves. And just in front, when we barely can reach it, we die of all the wounds. The clever or the wise person cuts out the thorn and thicket and makes the way easy to get to the goal. Or in other words, in terms of our practice, to get to wisdom or to get to samadhi. I don't know what you think. Probably the moment you go down to the monastery, you go down the hill to the monastery, all what you think about is, I want to be down there already. I want to have the food. I mean, these obvious things, you don't seem to see. That are on the path. You're missing half an hour of your life down to the path, down along the path. All what you remember is when you start, and all what you remember is when you get down. When you're down in the sala and eat your food. But what happened along the path, how much you were annoyed by these thickets and thorns, how much you cursed them, or how much you angered them by them, because you stumbled into them, or some of the twigs or branches, you know, stumbled across them, and you just pass by without even noticing. Without even noticing that this is an obstacle. And the same thing must happen within your practice. You don't see the obvious obstacles in your practice, being on samadhi, being the thoughts and memories that come in and constantly bother you, or in your investigation not doing the right thing. I mean, what can I say? And as a thanks for all my courtesy to provide you with the necessities of life to live here, take you with me, you provide me with shots of anger, or blast me away with anger. Give me this, give me that. This is not good for me, that place is not good, that is not right, this is not right. I mean, I hear it a lot. Just in the last few weeks, I hear it a lot and I take it on. Yesterday was a little bit too much when somebody blasted me away in my cave. I mean, I had to clear out the debris of this explosion for an hour until I could go back to my meditation. You come here on your own. You come here because you seek Dhamma advice. You seek advice to get to Magapala and Nibbana. You come here on your own. I don't invite you. You don't pay me. But actually, you're living off my gratitude. And then, as a thing, you blast me with your anger. I mean, just think about it. Please. Think about very carefully what you do and how you react towards me. I mean, your anger has nothing to do with me. The anger is in your own heart. There it resides. The disappointment or the agitation resides within your own heart. So keep it in your own heart and remove the roots for it there. I mean, that is all what I ask for you. All I ask of you. I mean, keep it within. I don't ask any money, I don't ask any gratification, I don't ask this or I don't ask that. All what I do is give, give, give. Give you advice in the Dhamma, give you advice how to remove the obstacles, how to get around the obstacles, point you out the path of practice, the path of practice, to Magapala and Nibbana. The path of practice that leads to selflessness, or that leads to the end of dukkha. I don't... I don't even know what comes into your mind. I mean, before I cleared the path about 4 o'clock in the 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and then I heard, you know, somebody of you went down in the midday or in the early afternoon heat, went down this path. Why? Just to play with a puppy. And came back in the midday heat, or in the early afternoon heat. And it's quite scorching. I don't even know what is going on in his mind. He doesn't see the thorns and thickets that were still on the path. He just scratched through them, got wounded, got agitated, irritated, annoyed. Just to play for half an hour with a puppy. And then come up all the way. I mean, this is just the same example that I use with a motorbike. We gather the motorbike, we have a heavy time of fueling it up, getting it to the gas station, dragging it on to the gas station, fueling it up, and then the Kilesas just take it and say thank you and go for a fun ride. That means go for a fun ride walking down the hill in the scorching sun, playing with a puppy and getting up, and half on the way, you know, up, you know, the tank is empty, and then we have to drag the motorbike up to the hill on our meditation path or on meditation sit. I mean, I don't understand what is going on. Well, the other person comes in and I said, oh, when he came to the monastery, he said, oh, I want to stay, this year I want to stay until June or maybe even longer. And then after 3 weeks he's here, you know, he wants to leave. Yeah. Now he stays a little bit longer and then he decides, you know, to take a fun ride because his batteries are charged or the gas tank is full. So the Kilesas want to take a fun ride on the Mekong River. I mean, do we think? I mean, why do we do all this hard work? Why do we get through frustration and anger and annoyance along the path, along the meditation path in our sitting meditation? Why, if we don't use this energy, if we do not use this motorbike or motor saw, you know, to cut down the kilesas that are in the way and producing all time this anger? Why to leave it alone? Why to waste our energy that we are so hardly developed? Go on a fun ride, no matter what it is. I mean, it's your life. You can come here and you can leave. It's up to you. Whenever you want to come, you can come, and whenever you want to leave, you can leave. That is completely up to you. And I just give. When you want me, then I just give you the Dhamma. I provide you with the necessities for a practice, point out the path that is necessary to walk, remind you that this is not the right way, or this is the right way. And then you just come and I constantly command you around. I say this or I say that. This is not right. I want this and I want that. If you want this and if you want that, then you better look for another teacher that gives you exactly what you want. I cannot give what you want, I can only point out the way. I can only point out the way to suffering. That is the only thing that I can. I mean, think about it. I mean, 18 years ago, when I was going into homelessness, I still was an engineer or scientist doing research. But on the path of practice, I had to get rid of all this what is called self, all this what is called greed, all this what is called anger, and all this what is called conceit. I mean, in the end of my practice, once avijja is gone, there is no self. So then ask yourself, just ask yourself now, then who in the hell is teaching you? Or what is teaching you? Just ask yourself. What is teaching you? If this is not Dhamma that is teaching you, then what else is it? It's certainly then not the kilesas. The kilesas are overpowering you. But on the path of practice, we are trying to cut down the power. We are trying to cut down the efficiency of the kilesas to rule us. In the end, there is nothing that we can call self. Once greed and hate are removed, the path to selflessness is automatic. We have installed the policemen of Dhamma that are called Sati and Panya. And they are constantly then looking over our shoulders, directing the way, seeing what is wrong, removing what is wrong, seeing that is a strain of self, removing that strain of self, and until there is no strain of self left anymore. And that is what is called. And then these policemen of Sati and Panya are gone. They are leaving. Because the work has been done. The work that we so long or so hardly installed in ourselves, the policemen of Sati and Panya that we waste so hardly every day, every hour, every minute of hard work, we raised them, we fed them, until they became so powerful that they could work on their own. And that is at the stage of Anagami, when they start the work on their own. And then whatever is not within the line of Dhamma, they remove it. They remove it automatically. Then they look for this strain, and they see it, there is still some Dhamma. There is still some Kilesas. They remove it, and they remove that, and they remove that, until there is nothing left, and then say, okay, the work is done, and they disappear. And that is the end of the world. That is when we enter the land of freedom, the land of Nibbana. The end of the land of where there is no dukkha. Or the land of where the fire of our greed, hatred and delusion has been destroyed, has been extinguished. Where our desires have been extinguished. That's a path of practice. And then just ask yourself, once in a while, especially if you come to a person who has highly developed himself, what is teaching you? If this is not the Dhamma, what else could it be? I mean, if you go to a worldly teacher who has no interest in, then of course, this self, or the kilesas, or the cleverness of kilesas are teaching you. And then you ask him to give you this, and then you get this. But of course you have to pay some money for this. And if you ask him not to give you that, then you don't get it. Because all he is interested, that he gets his money, that he gets his pay. The Dhamma only is interested to remove the obstacles, to remove every strain of kilesas that is in the way. Every obstacle that the kilesas build within your heart, that is going to be removed. That is going to be pointed out. But you're getting angry at the one who's pointing it out. That means you're getting angry at me, at your teacher. I mean, is that helpful? If you hit your head, if you're blind and you hit your head at a column or a beam, and the teacher points you out that was a beam, you know you hit your head, you get angry at the teacher for pointing you out. For pointing it out for you. And then he tells you, just go a little bit to the left, you know, because there is no beam. And then you get angry that this teacher is commanding you around. I mean, we are blind. The Lord Buddha calls us blind people as long as we can't see. He says, whoever sees the Tathagata sees the Dhamma. And whoever sees the Dhamma sees the Tathagata. Tathagata is the enlightened, is the Lord Buddha. He called himself the Tathagata, the enlightened one. So just consider it once in a while. Who is sitting here and teaching? It's certainly not the engineer or scientist he was 18 years ago. I put a lot of effort and a lot of hard work into removing all the strains of the kilesa. I am not angry with you. I am not disappointed with you. I just give you the things that are necessary. I point out the things, the ways that are wholesome for your development, and I point out the things that are unwholesome for your development. If you don't like it, as I said before, you're free to go. I don't keep you, and you do not do me a favor to stay. You don't do me a favor. I mean, I stayed here the last 2 years, I stayed here just by myself and was happy and was much less disturbed than this year, where I took you on. I took you on because of metta, of loving kindness to teach you the way, because I saw an eagerness for you to learn, to get around, to get rid of the obstacles in your heart. And that's why I took you with me. And your thing is to blast in your anger at me. I mean, I don't mind. This is something, you know, I experienced mostly, not all, not always, but very often. Be it in Germany and giving some of the talks, you know, quite a few people got angry of what I say. But what I say is just a moment. So if people get angry at Dhamma, you know, I just can't help. So in the end, I will choose, probably will choose, you know, just be by myself. And you can bet on that I'm happy. You can bet on that I'm satisfied. I mean, just realize, it's not me that needs you, but it's you that needs me. Me as a teacher, me as a policeman, who constantly looks over your shoulders and tells you this is wholesome and that is not wholesome. Get rid of the unwholesome things and develop the wholesome things. That's my function as a teacher. If you just want to listen to Dhamma talk, then you just listen to tapes here, and then there will be no policeman around you who tells you this is wholesome or that is not wholesome. Or you just read. It's all nice. It's all nice in theory. When it comes to the practice, it becomes hard. It becomes difficult, and we easily give up. We easily give up and think, this is so hard. This is so tough. I can't take it anymore. I need my break. In other words, the Kilesas need their holiday. They want to have fun with all the energy, with all the things that we have built up so hard in the last 6 weeks. They want to have fun with all this energy, and they can do a lot of things until they're completely depleted of energy, and then we are going to seek another meditation retreat. Then we spoil all the energy, all the Kilesas will have their fun with all the energy, until we go to our next retreat, and the next retreat, and the next retreat. In the end, becoming nothing else than meditation junkies. Is this what you want? Ask yourself what you want. Ask yourself what is important in your life. Ask yourself what you want to do. I just wish, I really would wish, that within a few days you will have a dream. It shows you just the last 5 lives that you have passed through. Shows you the dukkha, shows you what kind of action led to what kind of karma. I mean, I would be so happy if some of you would have this dream of your past life. I mean, I would not need to encourage you. I would not need you to put any effort in teaching. You would just run. You would run, 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 and don't stop until you reach Nirvana. it's so devastating to see just your last life, the dukkha that you experience in your last life, and what kind of action led to what kind of karma. You would run. You would run away from the tigers of greed, tigers of hate, and run away from the werewolves of greed, until they come to a land where they can't touch you anymore. But now you don't see it, because avijja really firmly closes the door to our past life. Doesn't show a hint, a track to our past life, so we just don't know what happened. We just simply don't know. And that's the reason why we are so complacent. And that's the reason why we think, oh, tomorrow will be better, or, you know, when I do this, this will be better, or when I will do that, this will be better, or this will be nice, or that will be nice. We just believe it because we don't see the results of our actions. We don't see the dukkha of our last life. We don't know. And this is the power of avijja, not to know or disguise the real facts. Disguise the truth from our eyes, so it can constantly fool us with, oh, tomorrow will be better, you know, we just have to wait. Or next month will be better. Or next life will be better. If I practice in my next life, it will be much better. I will be younger. We don't even know what the heck is going to happen in our next life. Maybe we're going down to hell. Maybe we're going to a very dissatisfactory place. Maybe we are going to become born as a human being and living in splendor and luxus and not even thinking about one to develop ourselves spiritually. So we lose all our spiritual abilities. We can lose them. Because we don't remember what we have done in our previous life. So how can we remember in our next life what we have done in this life? And through how much dukkha? And you know, you just know through how much dukkha you went in this life. Just reflect upon it very carefully. You don't even have to know your previous life. Just reflect upon the dukkha that you experienced in this life. From the moment you were born until this moment. Just reflect upon it and take your legs in your arms and run. Until you find a safe place. Until you find the place where greed and hate cannot touch you anymore. This is when you can take a break. But actually, you know, as I explained before, then, at that level, already the policemen of Sati and Panya have been installed automatically. So they will automatically guide you to the end of dukkha. They will find any strain of dukkha. They will find any strain of dissatisfaction. They will find any strain of self that is still left within us and remove it for us. All what we have to do is then give them the time to do their work. That means walking chumbrum or sitting in samadhi, giving them the time to do their work. But until these policemen, they constantly remind us what is wrong and what is right, are not automatically installed. We certainly do need somebody who takes that role on from the outside. Who constantly reminds us, this, my friend, does not lead to wholesome results. This, my friend, will lead to wholesome results. But if we can't take it, if this is too much to us, then we have no other choice than to leave. I mean, just reflect. I just wish that you just had a dream of one of your previous life, or a few of your previous life, where you actually see karma working. what kind of action leads to what kind of result. And I think you would be much more careful with your actions right now. And with this, I end my talk.